The Old Testament reading for the baptism of our Lord is from Isaiah chapter 43. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west. I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin, that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 3rd chapter. As the people were in expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. But Herod, the tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all and locked up John in prison. Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased." This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as you all know, the internet can be a crazy place. I recently saw a post online about some very disturbing facts, about a chemical called dihydrogen monoxide. Well, there are many great things that can be done with dihydrogen monoxide. This colorless, odorless, tasteless chemical kills thousands of people every year, mostly from accidental inhalation. And listen to these facts. Prolonged exposure to its solid form causes severe tissue damage. If you ingest too much of dihydrogen monoxide, your symptoms might include excessive sweating and urination, possibly a bloated feeling, nausea, and vomiting. But there's more. Dihydrogen monoxide contributes to the greenhouse effect. It causes erosion of our natural landscape. It accelerates corrosion and rusting of many metals. And it causes electrical failures and can even decrease the effectiveness of automobile brakes. And this stuff is widespread. For example, there are large quantities of dihydrogen monoxide found in almost every stream, lake, and reservoir in America. It has even been found in the ice of Antarctica. Despite the danger, dihydrogen monoxide continues to be used in such things as an industrial solvent or coolant, in nuclear power plants, in the production of styrofoam, as a fire retardant, in many forms of animal research, and in the distribution of pesticides. And then companies that use dihydrogen monoxide, they are able to dump their used dihydrogen monoxide into rivers and into the ocean, and nothing can be done to stop them because at this point it is still legal. And the government refuses to do anything about it. They continue to support the distribution of this damaging chemical due to its importance for the economic health of our nation. Personally, I think all of this, all of these facts that I just dropped on you, every single fact can be linked, can be traced directly back to the molecular structure of dihydrogen monoxide. Di means two, hydrogen, two atoms of hydrogen, mono is one, oxide, one atom of oxygen. So written out, you would write it as H2O. Water. Dihydrogen monoxide is just another name for water. Water. That's right. All those facts are true about water. Crazy. But think about it. Water is powerful, isn't it? Water can be dangerous. It can even kill, as I mentioned, thousands of people every year. Just think of all the death and the destruction at Noah's time with the great worldwide flood. The death and the destruction that water can arise. And then also, water is life-giving. We need water on this planet to survive. So yes, water is powerful, especially water is powerful in holy baptism. The water in holy baptism is so powerful that it kills and makes alive. But when we're talking about holy baptism, we're not talking about just plain water, dihydrogen monoxide, H2O. We're not talking about plain water, are we? The water in holy baptism is combined with the very word and promise of God. So it's H2O plus the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that is the key. As powerful as water is, God is the power in holy baptism. He is the one who makes this water so powerful. God is there. He is in and with the water of holy baptism, killing the old sinful flesh and making alive, giving new spiritual life, faith and salvation and the gift of the Holy Spirit in those waters of holy baptism. That's what God's word says. Romans 6, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. So in the waters of holy baptism, we are united to Christ's death and his resurrection, death and life. God has instituted holy baptism for us. So just as Christ was crucified, our old sinful flesh would be put to death and crucified, united to Christ, killed, drowned in the waters of holy baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead, that we too are dead, sinful flesh that we all have inherited and are born into, that would be drowned and die, and a new life would emerge, a spiritual life, alive, given life through the life-saving water of holy baptism. Romans 6, verse 5 says, "For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." In baptism, we are united to Christ in such a way that his life is our life. He is our substitute. And we receive, in holy baptism, we receive all that he earned, all that he won for us by his life, death, and resurrection, given to us in those waters. And that is what our Lord is doing in our gospel reading this morning. In the baptism of our Lord, we see the very Son of God, Almighty God in the flesh, right? We just celebrated Christmas, the incarnation of the Son of God as a human being. The God in the flesh is standing there in the waters of the Jordan for us. He is there in our place. He stands there identifying with us, us sinners, sinners in desperate need of this holy water, in desperate need of repentance and the forgiveness of sins, the death and the resurrection given to us in the waters of holy baptism. He stands there in those baptismal waters, even though he was perfect in every way, because we are far from perfect. He stands in those baptismal waters, even though he never sinned, because we sin much. We sin greatly over and over again. Christ submits perfectly to his Father's perfect will because we are all bent towards disobeying our Father's perfect will. He stands there in our place as our substitute to fulfill all righteousness because we can't. We are unrighteous, in desperate need of salvation. And he stands there in order to accomplish the mission for which he was sent, the mission that the Lord, the Father in heaven, sent him to accomplish, a mission that would ultimately be accomplished by his bearing all of our sins, taking all of our sins into his body, hanging on the cross, suffering for all of those sins, and rising again 3 days later, all as our substitute for us. In our place. So by Christ receiving John's baptism, he is earning the very same obedience and righteousness that he intends to give to the whole world, to give to all people in the waters of holy baptism. Everything he accomplished for us is given to us in those waters, a free gift, a gift for the world that is drowning, a gift for the world that is full of unrighteousness and disobedience. He gives it all, a free gift by grace through faith. And the Son's mission, the Son's perfect obedience, is pleasing to the Father. At the baptism of our Lord, we see both God the Father and the Holy Spirit acknowledging that God's Son, who has now become a man, acknowledging that he is the chosen one. He is the anointed one. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. This man, Jesus Christ, is the one who was sent to earn our salvation, to be our substitute and the substitute for all sinners. Our text says, "Now when all the people were baptized and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened. And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form as a dove. And the voice came from heaven. The Father from heaven speaks, 'You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased.'" So now, because of all that Christ has done and accomplished, now the water that was poured on your head, this life-giving, this powerful water, and those words were spoken united with those waters, those words, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." All the perfect obedience accomplished for you by your substitute, Jesus Christ, now is given to you. It is credited to you, a and you are declared righteous. All of those amazing stats that Jesus racked up with his perfect life, his perfect obedience, his death, his resurrection, all of those stats, now when you look in the book, they've got your name on them. And the Father is well pleased now with you on account of his Son, Jesus Christ. Who knew? Who knew that dihydrogen monoxide, H2O, water, who knew that water could do such mighty and powerful things? Well, when it is combined with God's word and promise, God did. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, your substitute, did. And that is why, as Lutherans, we make such a big deal about baptism. Because he does. God does. Because in baptism, God promises mighty and powerful things for you and to you. He kills the old sinful flesh, and he raises you to new life, faith in Jesus Christ. In baptism, he washes away all of our sins. He takes away all of our sins and gives us Christ's perfect righteousness and forgiveness. In baptism, God delivers to us his promise that we are indeed his children and we are heirs of eternal life, that heaven belongs to you. In baptism, we are given a lifelong comfort, sure. We are given a lifelong joy that no matter what happens throughout our lives, no matter what happens in the coming year, the one who stood in your place to fulfill all righteousness has promised that he is united to you and he will remain united to you. And he will continue, continually giving you his mercy, his blessing, his compassion, his love, and his forgiveness. For he has called you in those mighty waters of holy baptism. He has called you by name. You are his, and he is yours. In baptism, in his baptism, Christ's baptism, and including in your own, that is where we see Christ for us. You are baptized. Therefore, consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. So now, every time that you come into contact with this chemical dihydrogen monoxide, every time you come into contact with H2O water, that can serve as a reminder to you of this divine promise. You are his child. You are forgiven. You are united to Christ. You are baptized into Christ. And that's a lot of reminders because water is everywhere. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.